So whatever you say, whatever way you look at it, we're back. We're back at work. And if you're not back at work yet, you will be soon. And if you're not back at work at all because you don't have a job, well, do you know what? Life goes on. And that's what we're going to be talking about today with Richard Burke from Safe Harbour. Richard, welcome back to the programme, first of all.
Thanks, Ian.
How was the Christmas?
Great.
Yeah?
Great.
You happy it's over?
I am.
I am.
I'm happy it's over to a certain extent, and that, you know, there's a whole new year, and you can kind of, when you're self-employed like myself, and you're all full of enthusiasm, you want to kind of get stuck in. I really enjoyed the break. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
Christmas is great when you actually forget what day it is.
Well, isn't that what happens?
You know, sort of period, kind of, you know what time it is, you have no idea what day it is.
Yeah.
And today we're kind of back in some sort of routine. And I suppose to a certain extent I do like routine.
Yeah. I saw a thing there recently. This is, of course, typically off on a tangent, but there was a Pooh Bear and Piglet walking through the forest, and Pooh Bear turns to Piglet and says, "Piglet, what day is it?" And Piglet goes, "It's today." And Pooh goes, "Oh, great, that's my favourite day." I love that. Anyway, what we're talking about is, look, January is a tough month because it's the middle of winter. We've had the hype of Christmas to keep us going for the last while, and now we're looking into January, February, March. So, you know, there's no real stretch in the evenings or anything yet, and the credit card business is going to start coming in, and we've no money in our accounts, and we've hit the overdraft limit. So how do you manage to stay positive through all this, Richard?
Well, you've cheered me up so far. It's one of the reasons I suppose I love Christmas.
Yeah.
But being self-employed, I love the whole January period at the start. It's not because I'm so busy with people wanting to stop smoking. It's because I have so many ideas for things I want to do myself. And look, one very simple one, which I saw on Facebook over the Christmas period, was that you get a big jam jar.
Mm-hmm.
You take it out of recycling and you sellotape the lid on and you put a little hole on the top. And when something good, it's kind of a good news jar, and when something good happens during your day, well, when you're yourself, your wife, your kids, they write on a little post and they stick it in the jar.
Okay.
And you kind of get into a habit. So I'm planning on doing one later on today. I know it sounds very corny, but these things are really, really, really clever ideas. And most of us will see this sort of stuff on Facebook, but none of us will actually do it.
Yeah.
And the important thing about it is, if it becomes part of your furniture in your kitchen, then you kind of get used to it and it becomes part of the kind of family dynamic.
Mm.
And the idea then is on New Year's Eve in 2013, that you open up the jar over the glass of wine and you say, "Oh, I remember this happened, remember that happened."
Because
lots of what we tend to do is we tend to remember all the crap. Remember all the bad things that happened, and then we tend to dismiss the good things as normal. That these they just happen anyway.
I think that's a marvellous idea. As well, the whole act of writing it down kind of solidifies it in your brain a bit doesn't it?
Yeah, and people often, you know, people have asked me about the power of thought. The power of thought dictates how you're going to feel in 2013. And the big gap between reading these books and the power of thought and actually doing it are practical little steps.
Yeah.
So it's how to bridge it. And I've been fascinated by trying to find ways to teach people how to bridge the gap between the theory you read in the book.
Which you understand as well.
You
know,
it sounds wonderful. Yeah. And how you are on Facebook and how you actually physically do it.
Yeah.
And I thought the jar was a very, very simple idea. That you write a note on it.
And you've told us for the last like 4 years that it's all to do with repetition. And that's how
repetition is hugely
one
important.
Of the two ways that your brain or your subconscious learns. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but most of what we do is we'll think about it. And we'll play with it in our heads, and then we won't actually do anything about it.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, the problem is, you know, I want to stop smoking, I want to lose weight, I want to stop drinking, I'm going to run further. Like, very often people say New Year's resolutions is a to-do list for the first week of January.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
You know, and then after that, they just forget
they're all
about
gone out the window, yeah.
So it's the small practical things that you can do. Like, we all have jars in our house.
Yeah,
stick
one
in your kitchen or on the windowsill. That's what I'm going to say.
It's the whole concept of giving thanks as well, isn't it? I mean, we do, despite whatever you might say about the situation any of us finds ourselves in, we're not living in the Congo. We're not living we're not starving to death. We're not whatever. Things might be tough, but we have an awful lot to give thanks for, and that's again what that jar is about, I suppose.
Well, it's all to do with the law of attraction, and we all kind of some way know the law of attraction. Even if you just take away the spiritual side of it, just the pure psychological side of it. And if I think I said this before, if we were going to a dinner dance and both our wives were getting ready, then they spend a lot more time getting ready than we do. I put on my suit, so do you.
Yeah.
And we go out. But say it might take 3 or 4 or 5 weeks to pick out dresses and all the rest of it. So what happens is the dress for your wife or my wife is in their mind as something that's important. Mm-hmm. And your conscious awareness can only focus on about 5 activities.
Right.
So because it's important, your subconscious mind, when the lady walks into the dinner dance, the very first thing she'll see is the lady wearing the same dress as her, even though there's 1,000 other people there. That lady was always there, and she wasn't looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
But if she was wearing a different dress, she would have noticed that lady.
Yeah.
So the reason this happens is because once something becomes important to you and you focus on it internally in your imagination, your subconscious mind's job is to find more of it.
Yes.
So,
and that's positive or negative?
it can be positive or negative. So for instance, if you constantly focus and talk with the negative audience, I'm not saying self-deluding yourself. Misery loves company. If you keep saying, oh, this is bad and that's bad and that's bad, and always see the negative in everything that happens, what happens is your subconscious mind goes, oh, Richard, look, here's more over here. More misery over here. Yeah, and what happens then is your world on the outside becomes a mirror of what's going on inside your head. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that things aren't bad.
But the corollary is also the case, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
That the more you kind of look for, despite whatever it is in your life, you know, just try and seek out the positives. Again, back to your jar. And when you find them, acknowledge them, put them into the jar, and all of a sudden you will find more positive things coming to
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. It does make a big difference. Yeah. It makes a big difference, because if we're, like, there's lots of examples of people in history, famous people in history, who have been in very dire situations, but have maintained their humanity and maintained their positivity.
That's right.
That's not because they're superhuman people. They're just people, ordinary people. But what they've done is even if you focus on 20% of positive and there's still 80% of crap on your head, your life will still reflect that. Nobody's going to be 100% positive. I'm not 100% positive. Nobody can do that, because we're human. There has to be some sort of balanced approach. We all like to whinge. I like to whinge. But what happens is you kind of catch yourself whinging and say, oh God, and then try and find something positive in it, because how you're going to feel tomorrow is dictated by the thoughts you're processing today.
Thoughts become things, we say it all the time.
Absolutely.
Don't we?
Yeah. And if we're constantly looking for the outside world to change how we feel, which does happen, okay, you win some money or you get a new job, of course that's going to have a huge impact on how you feel. But if we're slaves to what's going on around us to dictate how we actually feel, then we're going to be in trouble.
They treat triumph and adversity as equal impostors. Isn't that what Rudyard Kipling said? There you go. Good start to January. Richard Burke from Safe Harbour, as ever. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.